Bobby Noonan in for Rokan and Anna DeVonte's. Ron and Anna will be back Christmas on January 3rd. Yes, it is. Christmas time is here. And you know who else is here? Steve Dale is here. Because today I see some stories about pets. I see my pets struggling, and I think no one better to help us out than Steve Dale. Thank you for coming early. I like that in a guest. You are always punctual. You are always eager.
You know,
and coming off last night when you hosted from 11 to 2, I'm guessing you must be a little tired.
Oh, no, I'm fine.
Yeah?
No, I'm happy to be here.
The show, it looked like you had 1,000,007 guests. It looked like a fun 3-hour party.
I had the most amazing, talented people, some of Chicago's best performers.
Wow.
For reasons I cannot explain. They have nothing to do with me. It has to do with this radio station.
Right.
Said, I will come in. I'll sing. Sure,
and that's
I will.
A hard sell. Hey, you want to come in on Christmas night at 11?
Go away from your family.
Right.
And they're performers. So it's like, don't work. You know, take the night off. You know,
yes, that's their one night off.
Yeah.
They've probably been
drinking.
If
they're lucky to get it.
They're liquored up. And they still come in.
Yeah, they were not liquored up, Brian, but they did come in. And what's more, what was most inspiring about the show is I had the chaplain on from the Chicago Police Department. So he knows people in high a person in a high place,
sure.
If you know what I mean, right?
I mean, I believe he knows. Yeah, yes. He knows what's happening.
He does. And I asked him if there is such a thing as a Christmas miracle. What do you think? Do you think they exist aside from Jimmy Stewart movies?
I want to say yes, but miracle may make it seem too big. I believe there good things can happen all the time. I hope some things do. But I think we tend to maybe notice them more this time of year. Something that may happen in August that we go, oh, that was just nice. Maybe we add a little more to it in late December.
So if that's a cynical answer, I'm right where you are.
Yeah,
you know?
I don't think it's
fine. So I had two people on the radio, one explaining his story, actually a couple explaining their story. And a woman on explaining her story. And then I looked to the chaplain. I said, are these miracles? And he said, oh, yeah, they are. And that's
really
what I'm talking about. So one is a baby that was born 5 months plus too early.
Oh, wow.
And weighed 1.5 pounds. And happened to be born in Cancun, Mexico, where the doctors did the best they could.
Sure.
But their medical facilities aren't where they are here.
Yeah.
And they had several conversations saying this baby, the doctors did in Spanish with one another, and then the translator translated it, which was unfortunate. But the translation was, this baby's not going to make it.
Ugh.
And today the baby's thriving.
Really?
What's more, by the way, when they get to America, there's a struggle there because they don't have insurance to pay for it, for starters. And so then they go online, and people all over the world, social media does in this instance what social media does best.
Yes, what it's supposed to do.
Yeah. And people who couldn't have known these folks. I mean, I knew of them, but people in Australia, they said, people around the world just jumped in and said, all right, here's $10, here's $20.
Yeah.
And we're going to make sure. So they get to the United States, Hurricane Maria hits. So they have to survive that, which they did in the hospital. And the baby is now doing fine. Another is a story of a dog. It's me, so
yes,
that
I was going to say we got to segue into some sort of animal story.
And the dog was hit by a car, left on the side of the road, left for dead, was starving to death.
Oh.
An animal sanctuary in Puerto Vallarta takes in the dog, and instead of euthanizing the dog, there was just something about this dog where the person who runs that facility said, "I believe this dog is going to make it." And they, some serious surgery needed to be done, including amputating two of the dog's legs.
Oh.
The dog fell in love with Kathy Mackle, who lives in Oregon.
Yeah.
Kathy came back down, takes the dog back home with her, and she said, this dog saved me as much as I saved the dog.
Wow. Well, whether you want to believe those are miracles or not, they're beautiful stories, and it does show that people can reach out and help other people. See, I think part of the problem people have with the term miracle is it adds a religious connotation that some people may not be comfortable with.
So,
you know,
Brian,
but there is a higher power.
Brian and Diana, that's the couple with the baby, they said many times, or at least a few times, they said, online, will you pray now? Because this is now happening to our child.
Yeah.
And people prayed,
sure.
And they say they felt it.
Well,
the doctors even say they don't know how this baby at that point is even still alive.
Unbelievable.
Well, and I'm not a religious guy at all. Yeah. I'm just saying.
Something's out there.
Yeah.
Something is definitely taking care of that baby.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's
yeah.
amazing. Yeah. Well, it's all, boy, look at you doing feel good radio in the middle of the night. Now I want to cry. I'm going to, you know, take my whole last cynical 3 hours and throw it away and, you know, turn over a new leaf.
That would
but
be
I'm
bad.
Not going to.
Good.
Cause
I don't want to be accused of making Brian Noonan cry. Not
yeah,
me.
What? Oh,
no.
Listen, Steve, better, more, others have tried. I cry enough on my own. I blubber like a baby at the simplest things. Listen, Steve Dale's here. We are going to talk some pet stuff because it's very cold outside. And if you have an animal and you're not taking really, really good care of your animal these days, you are a horrible human being.
Yes.
I can say that.
Yes,
see,
I would say that.
I may hedge my opinion on miracles, but there's certain things I will not hedge my opinions on.
Thank you.
Let's do this first. I like that we're alternating. Little Christmas to keep some Christmas. Then we're kind of easing out of that. Every day will be like a holiday, especially when Steve Dale's here. Oh, my goodness. He brings joie de vivre everywhere he goes. Hi, Steve. How are you?
I think that's not even legal. I don't know. What do I bring?
Your joie de vivre.
Does it
joy
show?
For life. Yes.
Okay.
You are always bubbly and profound. All right. Let's get right to this. Listen, and we'll do this too. If people have a question for you, people always love to ask questions about their pets. 312-981-7200. Steve Dale's here. You hear Steve Dale Sunday mornings if you're up at 6:30. You read Steve Dale at Steve Dale's Pet World. He's everywhere. If he knows some, and you've got some other shows coming up this week where you're not restricted to talking about pets. You can talk about whatever you want.
Puppets, dragons, whatever
you need to talk about.
Yes,
whatever guests you're going to have.
All dragons all the time.
That
so I'm
good
on
show.
Yes, Wednesday night, Thursday morning from 2 to 5 filling in for Nick DiGilio, and I am so thrilled about this Friday doing Bill and Wendy's show. So
nice.
That's nice. You know, I go back to probably over 20 years with Bill and Wendy.
Really?
When they were,
back at the old place.
Yeah. And I would come on talking about animals. What a surprise. And
wait
Bill,
a minute. What?
I know. And Bill would tell me about his pet Gibbon. I forgot the Gibbon's name, but he'd tell me about the
Bill's
pet Gibbon.
Bill's an odd guy. Let's be honest.
No, I'll tell you, the two of the most talented people I've
no,
you know,
I love them both.
It's I mean, when you're at a radio station like this and growing up in radio like I have worked with the best. I mean, I worked with Wally Phillips.
Yes.
You know, I mean,
and now look at you. Look how far you've fallen. Now you're sitting here with me. You mentioned Wally Phillips in one breath, and then,
what does Noonan have to do?
No, stop it. All right, Lynn, I mentioned to you today, one of the reasons I called you was because, I know
how... wrong number?
Or? No, I know how cold it is.
Yeah.
And I have a dog, I have two dogs, as you know.
Yep.
I love my dogs, but they're not that bright. So the one I have to keep convincing that she doesn't want to go outside, because she looks out and she sees it's sunny, so in her little dog brain, this dog would stay outside all day, and she would lay on the porch, or she'd wander around, or as we've talked about before, she'd dig a million holes. So today, she's whining and whining and whining, and I say, all right, it's cold, so I let her out, and I stay right by the window, so because I know she can't make it that long. Lo and behold, about 2 minutes into her encounter, I see her start to hop, because
sure.
she can't put her pads down. Her pads are freezing,
yep.
And she came in, and I thought, there's people who, you know, we're cognizant as people that we have to get dressed. And most pet owners are very responsible, but some people are not. They're going to think, well, it's a dog. They can be outside. Wrong. Correct?
Well, they can be outside, but when it's this cold out, it's even somewhat challenging for Malamutes and Alaskan and Siberian Huskies. And
they're
dogs.
Bred for this.
They are. And it's so cold out that even those dogs potentially can have a tough time.
Are their pads different? Like on a Malamute or a Husky, are their pads different than like my regular run-of-the-mill mutt?
Their pads aren't so much, but they become acclimated if they're out more frequently to the weather, which is part of it.
Okay.
So the old, you know, dog houses, people used
yes,
to talk about the dog house. Your daughter's sitting right here. I don't even know that she would. Do you know what a dog house is?
Get the general idea.
She gets the general idea is what she said. So, but many people your age would not have any idea of what a doghouse is because we don't see them much anymore. So the dogs have gone from the doghouse into our house. But great-grandpa had the dog out in the doghouse all the time. I don't think that was the right thing to do for the dogs. But great-grandpa would say, well, my dog tolerated winter. Well, yeah, your dog froze and had frostbite. Quite literally, dogs can get frostbite just as easily as we can. Yeah. And if we're out in weather like this, we're going to get it. Having said that, those dogs were a bit more acclimated in some cases than dogs that now, instead of the doghouse, they're not only in our house, but in our beds,
yes,
where it's nice and cozy
they're
and nice
soft.
And warm.
Is that what you're saying? Our dogs are soft and weak.
No, I don't think I said it quite that way.
All right.
But the other thing is physiology. So if we're talking about a very small dog, there is no way, no how, when it's anywhere near this cold, to retain their body heat.
Yeah.
They just can't do it. So they're going to shiver because that is the only way they can potentially try to keep warm. So those very small dogs, you know, dogs that are 12 pounds and under, they definitely, in this weather and in my mind, anything below freezing, they need a coat. And not just a stylish coat, but a coat with, you know, that fake
something
fur inside
warm,
or lining, you know. And they
make them now. I used to laugh about that people dressed up their dogs in coats. And now I feel, you know.
Even larger dogs like a Vizsla or a Weimaraner or a Dalmatian. I'm choosing dogs that have very little fur.
Right.
But in addition to that, some of the pit bull type dogs, absolutely, and many mixed breed dogs, it's not only a matter of size. If they don't have a lot of fur, they're going to get really cold. When it's this cold, they need a coat or a jacket. And also one other group for sure, two other groups. One are the sighthounds, the greyhounds, the whippets, the salukis.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
The reason for that is they have about 7% body fat.
Oh,
I know.
I'm so jealous of a whippet.
I know. That's way less than half of most dogs.
Yes.
It's about a quarter of what many dogs are. So they, of course, they're going to get very, very cold. And for those dogs, I even say if it's below 40 degrees, they need something, particularly the smaller ones, the whippets and the Italian greyhounds.
And is also, that if they're going to be out for even a short, even just a run out to go to the bath?
Well, I'll tell you, to go, run out and pee and come back, sure, you can get away with it. Just like you can, I forgot something in the car. I'm not going to put on my coat. I'm just going to run out.
Sure.
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
But if, and, you know, sometimes they'll pee even faster because they're freezing.
Yes.
And then they know, I've got to go back in the house. Having said that, to be out for even 2 or 3 minutes in this weather, you know, you feel it. And our dogs feel it just the same. The other group would be elderly dogs or dogs that are ill. I don't care what breed or mix that is. If they're, you know, even if it's a Malamute, if it's 14 years old, 15 years old, I say put on a coat or a sweater as well.
Okay. Now, what about their paws? Because it seems... Again, I know I'm hopelessly out of date, but to put shoes on a dog seems kind of silly to me. And I may be way off base, and you'll correct me.
Well, here's what I say. If it's good enough for the Iditarod dogs, the sled dogs.
Do they wear shoes now?
They're macho dogs, and they do.
Really?
Well, okay. They wear booties.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they don't really wear shoes with ties and...
Well,
you know,
yeah. The dog boots.
Yeah, it would be fashionable, but...
It would be cool.
Yeah, but they
dogs
don't wear
shoes. Dogs with Jeezys on?
I know. Little clogs.
Yeah. Oh, big.
No,
great.
They don't do that. Stilettos, they don't do that either.
Listen, I don't know what kind of weird stuff you're into, dogs and stilettos. I don't want to think about that. So I didn't realize the Iditarod dogs wore
search and rescue dogs do
really?
As well.
Mm-hmm. All right, well.
Because of the terrain they go
sure.
over. You know, so I think that can be a good thing for a lot of dogs, but a lot of dogs cannot easily be convinced of that. Some dogs even with the Velcro that holds it together really good, some dogs are managed to shake it off, you know. So for those dogs, I have another solution. There's a product called Musher's Wax, and that can be purchased at any pet store anywhere or online. It's just a couple of bucks, but you probably have another solution in your own house, and that is the non-stick sprays, PAM.
Yeah.
Is the most common one. Don't get buttered flavor. The dog will lick
it
off.
I was going to say that the dog is just chewing at its foot.
No, but the one that doesn't have any flavor or calories, the low-cal stuff, if the dog licks that off, no harm done, and the dog isn't as likely to lick that off. Now, for a track for 3 miles, that's not going to do the trick. But just to go outside and down the block, if that, or in the yard, and then come back, well, that can help. It's not going to, listen, if it's 20 below, it's wind chill. It's hard to do much.
It's going to be cold.
But this will help.
All right.
These two. So if the booties don't work, try that.
Trust
but the
friend.
Other big culprit.
Hang on.
I will tell you about when we come back.
Let's do the tease because we got to go to news. You've been here long enough. You know the news. We got to do the news.
I've heard about it.
Steve Dell is here. He's willing to stick around for a few extra minutes, which is great because there's something else we want to talk about. We're going to continue with some cold weather tips for your animals. If you have a question for Steve, 312 for Rowan Anna on 720 WGN. I will be here for a week because Rowan Anna will come back on January 3rd. Very nice. We'll be back tomorrow with lots of fun. But this is exciting. I expected, I had asked Steve Dell if he would join us for a little bit, and he did. And then we talk about a lot of stuff, as we always do when you're here. Conversations get long, so he was very nice to say he'd stay around. We do have some calls coming in. We want to get to those. People have questions for you. But let's go back real quick to some cold weather things.
Sure.
Because somebody texted in that their labs always wore boots. Because not only because of the cold, but because of the salt, which is something a lot of times we don't think about it. You know, if you go out, you've got to salt your walk so people don't fall and hurt themselves. But you don't think, oh, well, dogs are going to be walking on this too. And a lot of commercial ice melting stuff is not good for dogs.
It's not good for the environment. It's not good for the concrete. So I've learned, or not good for the plants,
yeah,
actually. So what I've learned all this in the past year or two, you know what? It's so frustrating as a dog owner when you take your dog down the street, and even if it's only 25 degrees, it's not that cold, but the dogs are still dancing like Britney Spears, and it's not because they want to entertain us. It's because it really does hurt, and it's not necessarily so much the cold weather. Now, those little ice balls can form between the paw pads, and you could put the booties on or do the things we talked about earlier. However, it's also the salt. I mean, very, very much it's the salt. And it's so frustrating because you want to walk your dog. And people feel they've done the right thing by salting their sidewalk. But they haven't done the right thing for the community, for the dogs, but moreover for the environment. I'm a fan of products like Safe Step SurePaws because this is better for the environment. It is better for the concrete. We don't want to replace concrete. That's really expensive. And I would like to see municipalities use what has become known as pet-friendly salt, but there are technical ways of saying what's in the salt. It's just another option.
Right.
And that other option is better not only for dogs, it's better for the community.
The problem is, and I use that stuff, I use the pet-friendly stuff, especially out on the patio where the dogs are going out all the time, it's much more expensive. You know, and so that I think that's unfortunately, if we could figure out a way for that kind of product to have the same price point as some of the other ice melting products, then it's a no-brainer. Then, of course, you're going to, you know,
well,
you're gonna do that.
Maybe if we buy more of it. I don't know
what
the solution
is. All right, listen, I do my part.
Here's the comparison I use. A couple of years ago, I had the same sorts of conversations about antifreeze.
Yes.
And now there are pet-friendlier antifreezes. They're actually not pet-friendlier. They have a bittering. They are pet-friendlier. What makes them pet-friendlier is there's a bittering agent in the antifreeze, so it tastes awful. Regular antifreeze to a dog or cat tastes really good.
Really?
Yeah. And the problem with that is just about 2 tablespoons worth can kill a Great Dane. 1/4 tablespoon can kill a small dog or a cat.
Oh,
that's
wow.
really dangerous, and it can kill them pretty quickly. So realizing this, some of the companies did the right thing and put a bittering agent in it so the dogs and cats wouldn't want it, but it was more expensive. Now it's the price point is more or less, I believe, about the same. So maybe over time that will happen. I hope so.
And was that a big problem?
Yeah.
Really?
See, and it still is. I mean, animals do die.
Getting, you know, getting into the antifreeze.
Yeah. One of the reasons why I want cats indoors, and there are many of them, but at this time of year in particular, well, there's two things. First of all, they go under car hoods because that's like an electric blanket to the car. I mean, to the cat. So you've just driven home. You've stopped the car.
My car sounds like that. I'm taking it right to the shop. That's not a good sound. But anyway, go ahead with your story.
I don't think so. And you turn off the motor and you go upstairs. Next morning, you come down. You have no idea. Some community cat said, oh, this is a nice warm place. You start your engine again and the cat is mangled, right? It's a bad scene.
Yeah, that's not good.
Right. But if the cat's indoors, that does not happen.
Sure.
Or the cat, desperate for something to drink because everything's frozen,
yeah,
will, and it's attractive if it's not the antifreeze with the bittering agent. Oh. They will take some of that antifreeze, and instantly no one will know why the cat did not come back.
Oh. All right. On that horrible note, let's take a couple calls.
Sure.
Steve Dallas here, 312-981-7200. I appreciate you staying extra. This is
of course.
It's always very informative when you are here, whether you're a pet lover or not, but especially if you're a pet lover, it's good to have Steve around. Teresa's been hanging on. Now, Teresa, I'm going to ask you this because I see on my screen it says, Teresa, biting kittens. Do you Uh-oh. Have a problem biting kittens, or do you have kittens that are biting? What's the problem?
I have one kitten that bites. We just got about 3 months ago. I need to back up because we have three cats, and it's kind of all together, mixed together, a problem. The older cat, she's 9, and she grew up with two other cats. One of them died suddenly at 9 in March, and then 5 months later, the 7-year-old died. And so she was lonely, so we got two kittens about a month later, and she still hadn't stopped hissing at them, and that was like Labor Day. Okay, she's still hissing at them. One of them is kind of a stinker, so I don't blame her, but not all the time, because he will run after her, and but he also, he's rough. He bites, like even us. He's very friendly. He purrs a lot. He wants you to pet him, and you're petting him, and then all of a sudden he'll just bite you really hard. Mm-hmm. So those are the two problems, the older cat,
I got
hissing at the little ones, and then the biting one.
What can you do, Steve?
Okay, so I'm curious, where did you get these kittens from? Were these kittens hand-reared at a very, very young age?
We adopted them from the Oswego Animal Hospital.
Great, but do you know their backstory?
No.
Were they found outside? Is that it?
I really don't know.
Okay.
Because they don't actually handle the adoptions there. They take care of the pets. It's another organization that you adopt through.
Okay. So kittens who are brought up by mere human beings don't learn bite inhibition. That is to inhibit their bite so it doesn't really hurt very badly. Mother cats teach them, the queens teach them this very early, very definitively, as do litter mates. So having this other cat around could be helpful if they interacted with one another, is the problem that they don't. Even if the kittens, I mean, depending on their age, depending on the individual kitten, some of this could be absolutely normal play behavior. Kittens and puppies, incidentally, they experiment. They learn about the environment like little toddlers do with their hands. They use their mouths to do it.
Okay.
And sometimes will bite too hard. Also, kittens may be teething. That could be a part of what's going on, too. So I want you to do a couple things all at once, and I'll get to the relationship with the issue in a moment.
Yeah.
Okay.
What you can do is, first of all, call your veterinarian, see if your veterinarian has any advice, just like when kids or puppies teethe, when kittens do it too. There's some pain involved, and one way to relieve that pain is to actually bite down on things, so that could be part of what's going on. When the kitten bites down on you, don't make a big deal out of it. You can say no. You could say, ouch. Those things are fine. And walk away. Don't run away. Don't make it a game. Running away to the kitten. Whoa, I can play chase.
Yeah.
So you don't want to do that. But you do want to withhold attention. You also want to give. Now, we tell people with puppies to give them something to chew on.
Mm-hmm.
Some kittens will, actually. So that's why I say talk to your veterinarian.
Got him a feeding toy. He won't use it.
Oh. Say that again, I'm sorry.
Won't use the teething toy,
but he won't use it.
So try a product called these are letters, C-E-T, not C-A-T, C-E-T.
C-E-T for the C-A-T?
Uh-huh. They're chews, they're a dental product that are made for dogs and cats. So they're really good anyway, they're a healthy product to have. You could stuff this inside something called a Kitty Kong toy, or just leave these out by themselves and let the kittens chew on them. But give the kittens something appropriate, if you can, to chew on. Cat grass can work too. Some individual kittens go crazy over this stuff. They really love chewing on it. Others, I don't want this, you know. Okay. So it really depends on the individual kittens. But don't play tug of war with your fingers. Don't make it a game in any way whatsoever. And sometimes you think, well, this really hurts me. It's no game. But make sure your kitten understands this isn't a game. Okay. And the best way to do that is simply to give yourself a timeout. Essentially, walk away, close the door behind you, and the kitten gets no more attention. Now, what would be nice would be if the adult cat were to teach this, because the adult cat is so much better at teaching all this than we are.
Well, how's she going to get that adult cat to stop hissing and play with the The kittens.
Well, I'd start with
they
the product.
They swat at each other.
Okay. So I would start with a product called Feel Away Multicat. It's a pheromone product, Feel Away Multicat. It's a pheromone product that, without going into detail with the explanation
I'm not familiar with it.
Pardon me?
I'm familiar with Feel Away.
Okay, this is a different kind of Feel Away. It's Feel Away Multicat, and it's specifically for multicat households. So I would start with that. I'd also make sure that your adult cat who's been there has a couple things. First of all, understanding I can go up high, I can go anywhere I want, and I can actually get away from these kittens. Okay. Give that cat an escape route. I don't know your house, but find a way to give your cat that cat an escape route so that cat isn't always subject to these crazy little kittens. Having said that, if you can encourage play in any way, that would be a great thing. You can use one of those interactive cat toys with feathers or fabric at the end. And involve the adult cat in that. And then when the kittens get too boisterous again, just stop the game. The kittens will learn, if I want to keep playing, I've got to play by the rules.
Perfect. Let's see. Teresa, I hope that helps.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. All right, sorry.
You're rocking.
Camille has been doing a nice job mixing things up. The ratio, I'm predicting. I'm not. This is not an edict. This is just a prediction that the... ratio of Christmas music to other music is probably going to change as the week goes on, because we're together all week, aren't we?
Oh yeah,
tomorrow and Thursday.
Yep.
Because what day is today? Today's Tuesday.
Yes.
Right.
Okay. Sure.
Yeah. I don't know. Who knows? Whatever. Steve Dowell's here. That's what I know. I know Steve Dowell's here, and he's helping you with your pet questions as he does all the time. An invaluable resource. I'm lucky I have his phone number, so I can text him if need
and
be.
You have,
and I have.
Yes.
You led us to our latest addition to the house, so I'm eternally grateful.
Family member.
Yes. So,
and dogs are members of the family.
They are
now.
Definitely it's members of the family.
It's not like the courts used to think of them. It's different.
Well, that's And if we can, we'll get to that, but I know some people have been waiting to talk to you, and so let's do that. It's a spirit of giving, so I like to let you give advice. Diane, this is a term we have never heard, or I have never heard. Steve may have heard it. Your dog has limber tail in the cold. What is limber tail?
Yeah, well, I Googled it because he normally has a curly tail, and then ever since Christmas Eve and all day yesterday, everybody was fighting and blaming each other that somebody pulled on the dog's tail and broke it because it was totally flaccid laying down. And it's never been like that. And I just Googled it and said that cold weather or the climate could cause it. And so we put a hot compress on it and woke up this morning and it was fine. But now I don't know whether to take him out in the cold ever again or only above a certain temperature.
Well, it's sort of like... I had to Google that myself, in all honesty. I had not heard of the term, but I know about swimmer's tail.
What is that?
And it's the same sort of idea. The dog is just swimming so much, and the tail's going back and forth as a rudder.
Okay.
And it just sort of overworks, so it's kind of the same. You still have to take the dog out, of course. What kind of dog is this?
Yeah, I know. He's a German Shepherd, Chesapeake Bay Retriever, Boxer, Beagle, Mutt.
Wow.
That's nice. Everything there ever was.
I like it.
In one dog. It's amazing. Well, you know what? If the dog, use your judgment. If the dog is tolerating the cold and is okay on walks. Now, when it's this cold out, you don't play reindeer games, whatever reindeer games are. I don't either. You don't play those in the backyard. You don't play fetch for 20 minutes in this kind of weather. Having said that... To take the dog for a walk, as long as your dog is tolerating the weather, I think is okay. And then the big question is, does it happen again? So if it happens again, it's a conversation with your veterinarian. Yeah. It may never.
That would be, I can't imagine, Diane. I'd be shocked if my dog's tail was just like plump.
That happened to my tail once.
But you were on vacation and you paid extra. But anyway, Diane, I hope that helps. Have a happy new year. I know I've just horrified not only Diane and Steve and my daughter and Camille. It's a clean sweep. Everybody is shocked by that last comment. Listen, we're almost out of time.
No, don't
I know,
tell me.
I know, but what can I tell you? Nick's question, and we'll keeping strays warm. We all know there's animals. Is there anything you can do?
Stray cats?
Yeah, yeah. I saw like somebody was doing little boxes filled with straw for outside. Is that a good idea if you know you have stray cats coming to your house?
Yeah, if you're doing what's called trap, neuter, return, and you have community cats, and you're a caretaker for those community cats, you probably somewhat know the answer to this anyway if you've been doing it a while. But just making it like a rabbit hutch, putting straw in there, putting blankets in there, hugely helpful. There are heaters that you can buy. Some are more dependable than others, you know, but that's another option as well. But I'll tell you, that's important because it's cold out if you have not noticed. I mean, it's really cold.
Yeah, it looks horrible. I can't believe I have to leave this building.
We're not.
I do. Listen, tomorrow night into Thursday morning, people need to stay up because you think you know Steve Dale as the pet expert. But wait till you hear Steve Dale as the guy who's up all night. You think he's wild now. Wait till he's sleep deprived and jacked up on caffeine from 2 to 5 a.m.
Oh, I don't even need the
Thursday
caffeine.
Morning.
That's
it is going to be
scary
fun.
Part.
Well, have fun.
I will.
Thank
I
you
will.
For coming in. It is
Merry
always a
Christmas.
Pleasure to see you. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and thank you for all the advice and all the help that everybody gets from you. And Sunday morning, 6:30, Steve Dale right here with his own with the pet show, and then now branching out doing so many other programs.
You're the best, Brian.
Right,
thank
so
you.
So are you, Steve. I will talk to you. All right.